Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. This is episode 75, and I am talking today to my friend Charity Reap. I am so excited to share her with you because she, first of all, she's like one of those super artistic, fun people. She's like one of those people who can wear like a cocktail dress with some sweatpants and you're like, oh my gosh, I never thought of pairing those two. It just works for her. I'm not saying she does that. I'm saying she could do that. I would do that and people would be like, oh, what happened to her? It's just different. Different people can do different things. But so Charity Reap is super creative, really fun, really wise. And she has created a resource that I personally use. I used it before it was kind of out for everybody to purchase, and it's really useful. And I actually, she has just launched her actual product, and I bought it with my own money because it's just that good. What I love about this chat is that we talk honestly about how weird it is, some of the things in the Bible, and how counterintuitive things that Jesus asks us to do are, and how if it seems strange and makes you have doubts, that's normal. Go with it. Ask questions. God can handle it. So she shares openly about her time when she had a crisis of faith and what she did about it. We talked about how sometimes motherhood is kind of like death. And when someone's that honest about how hard parts of motherhood are, those are my people. I love them. And I think if you're listening to this show up to episode 75, you're one of those people too. She also talks about how our journeys with God are not a straight line from point A to point B, and how there are curves and it winds, and that's okay. I am really linear, and so that makes me uncomfortable. So I like having someone like her help me see those things in a new way. But before we get started, you guys, I have a couple quick announcements. Number one, I have been pushing back against sponsorships for this entire time because honestly, hearing sponsors on podcasts is not my favorite. And what I do for you guys, I do because I love it all the way down to my toes. It feels weird getting money for it, but honestly, I was doing my taxes and I calculated that I make like 25 cents an hour to do this show. And honestly, I'd pay my kids more than that to turn the lights off after themselves. But side note, I don't think they're ever gonna learn how to do that, so I get to keep my quarters. Anyway, my friends with businesses have said this whole time that I need to get over my sponsorship issues, and so I really am gonna try it because this does take time away from my family, and it does cost some money. And I really am looking forward to showing off the small businesses that I love so that you can love them too. So be watching out for that in the next coming weeks. Also, one more thing, and this is serious, you guys. This week, you may have seen on Instagram, but I invested in an actual pair of headphones. I've had the computer, I've had the fancy microphone, but I did not have headphones. I had free ones that came with my phone years ago. Well, you guys, editing this week with actual headphones, my nose was whistling like some kind of, what whistles? Like some kind of bird, okay? Singing a morning tune. I am so embarrassed. So if you have been hearing my nose whistle for a year and a half, my sincerest apologies. I am going to try to take like a decongestant before I start recording because of what on earth. So just sorry about that. All right, let's get on with this. I present to you my interview with Charity Reap.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. So you're in California. What?
Yes, I am in Northern California right now at Bethel.
Oh my God.
Just taking like a week off of life.
I'm so jealous. Do you do this every year or what?
No, this is my first time to do this, but the Lord gave me a book that I have been longing to write, but I just have had no capacity at home with three teeny tiny kids. And my husband most recently has been traveling a lot for his work. So I told him, I said, whenever you get back, I'm leaving for a week. And so, you know, I made sure that he was like, semi-ready. You know, there's corn dogs in the freezer.
Yeah, I mean, how ready can you really be? But yeah, you did some things.
Yeah, and so here I am.
And he took a week off work or what?
Well, my husband's work is seasonal. So when he's on, he's 100% on. And when he's off, he's 100% off, which every lifestyle has its advantages and disadvantages. So one of the advantages of that is that I can go away for a week and he can be fully present with my kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has it been nice so far? You're only on Tuesday, but.
Oh, it's been amazing, Emily. It's just been so restoring and good to soak in the Holy Spirit and, you know, be completely tuned out of all social media and like really like this conversation with you is my only conversation this week. And then of course I'm still kind of like promoting my Kickstarter stuff a little bit. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I'm just completely unplugged, which is
it's amazing.
Nothing like it.
Did I see that you're overfunded on your Kickstarter?
Yeah, praise God. Which, I mean, there's no such thing as being overfunded.
Okay.
You know,
but I don't know how it all works.
I surpassed my goal. Yeah. So we're at 144% right now.
And this is for the journals.
Yeah, this is for the Real Life Journal. For the official launch, the one that you got was one of the test pilot versions. So we're totally done with test pilot versions. I've literally sold and or given away every last test pilot version. I do not even have one in my possession anymore.
Okay.
It's an amazing feeling, you know, because I kind of stuck my neck out there and was like, I'm going to do this non-traditional, like I'm going to get a lot of people to try it and tell me how this went for them. So I had about 1,200 people who did it. Of those 1,200, about 440 that like followed through with detailed feedback. Like, here's how it went for me. Here's what God's doing in my life. You know, like the wrap up of that is just like when you invite Jesus into your real life, he accepts the invitation, right?
For sure. Yes.
Anyways, it's just so awesome to see what God is doing with the Real Life Journal. I couldn't have facilitated all of this.
So what's the book about that you're doing?
It's so fun. Like, you're the first person I'm talking about it with, but the book is about finding your higher purpose in life.
Okay.
It's a book / creative workbook. I come from a advertising background, so I really have an appreciation for the creative process and just how so many things in life are not linear. They are like an explosion, you know, like God doesn't necessarily work in a linear fashion. He works in a very like windy path type fashion. And so I wanted to create a tool that uses creative process to help us think differently about our higher purpose in life and mobilizing and activating our passions for the Lord.
Okay, so let me ask you, because I'm a very linear person, that makes me very uncomfortable the way that God does that.
Oh gosh.
It makes me feel like I messed up all the things before if it isn't what I've landed on now. Does that make sense? So are you very comfortable with the curvy path?
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, I think that that's kind of who God created me to be, is that like I tend to enjoy God's creativity and processes. But I would be lying if I didn't say that if things don't work out the way that I want them to, that that doesn't make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, it can curve as long as it ends up where I want it to end up.
Right. But sometimes in those curves, you think like God's not taking me where I wanted him to take me next.
Yeah, that sounds so fun though. Honestly, as somebody who is fine with the curve, people like me need that. We need someone to tell us it's okay.
Well, I think you're gonna love it because it gives you a place to like process the curviness out and embrace it for what it is, for linear thinkers, I think it's going to be very empowering. And I think for creative thinkers, it's going to be enlightening as well.
That's so exciting. Do you know when it might come out? Do you already have a publisher, or where are you at with all that?
Well, I'm very rogue in my process, Emily. Like, I don't want to wait around for a publisher, which I'm sure that says something about my personality. I'm just doing it. Like, I'm gonna print it and put it out there, and whoever wants it can have it.
I love that.
So it'll come out on my website in March.
Okay.
Is kind of what I'm feeling. I'm feeling March or April. I'm hoping for March. Nice. But we'll see. I feel like it's very doable because, you know, I'm already in writing process. I have a designer and I have a printer. So, I mean, what else do we need in the world, right? So,
I mean, sounds like it's all come together.
There's Amazon. We live in the day of Amazon.
It's true. Okay. So you're talking about you're feeling this certain date and, you know, you just seem so artistic. Have you always been just really like you have two different colors of hair. I'm just seeing like you're so fun. I don't really know what question I have other than I think you seem pretty cool. I like it.
You're so sweet. I don't know. You know, I've just always really loved Jesus. And if Jesus puts something on my heart to do, I don't want to stifle it. I just want to run with him.
When did you learn about Jesus?
I grew up in a Christian home on a farm in rural Missouri. My dad was a pastor of a church of 12 people.
Okay.
I was the youth group.
Okay.
I really was. I was the children's church, the youth group. And then, you know, when they sent me to college, I was the...
You were the young adult ministry.
Young adult ministry. But that just, you know, I mean, there's just not a lot of people where I grew up. So it was just a super small church that served the community. So I've always known Jesus, but I think that the surety of who Jesus is and his goodness became real to me in my early 20s.
What happened?
I kind of had an identity crisis in my early 20s because I'd never believed in anything but Jesus.
Okay.
I graduated from college, went to an advertising agency, and then started feeling like, wouldn't it be cool if I served ministries doing what I'm doing at the ad agency, which was essentially business-to-business marketing, which is what missionaries have to do. They mm-hmm. have to market their ministry to churches. So it's like a business-to-business transaction.
Okay.
So that's what I had learned to do at the ad agency. And then I was super passionate about missions. So I just started serving ministries. I would just ask like, hey, do you need somebody to help you with this? And they would always say yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So before I knew it, I had a thriving consulting business. They started paying me money for it. I quit my job at the advertising agency and started traveling the world. But then when I saw like what the world really is like and how much suffering exists, that's when like my centeredness, my like focus on Jesus, the rug was pulled out from under me. It was like this, it was really like Satan just pulled the rug because my little mind just couldn't reconcile all the hurting that I saw. And how I reconciled that was a couple of years of hard wrestling with my faith and deciphering, do I really believe Jesus is the only way?
What did that wrestling look like for somebody who might be doing the same thing?
Oh, goodness. Well, for me, it kind of looked like I still went to church and I still read my Bible and I stayed open. So what I would recommend to anybody who's like in a season of struggling would be keep your heart open. And this season's going to be so good because it's solidifying of your faith. Like what the Lord is doing right now is he's allowing your faith to like fully become yours. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful and it's so good. And when I would go to church, I kind of sat out a little bit in my mind. Like I became like a class proctor almost, where like okay. I like kind of came in and I proctored church for a couple of years. I explored other faiths and what I thought about them. I remained open and I kept the dialogue open with Jesus.
Okay. And I think some people feel like that's not allowed. Like God's not okay with me doing those things. You know what I mean? And so they won't explore those things. And so being on the other side of it, what would you say about God's character? Is he okay with us having questions?
He was good with me.
I think he is too. with Job. Job is all questions. Job just asks tons of questions.
Absolutely.
You know, I think there's a lot more freedom that we could have in our relationship with Christ that we don't have because we're afraid he's mad at us and all about rules and stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Emily. I think that like in my seasons of questioning, that's when my faith most matured. Mm-hmm. And I found about God's character, coming back to your question, that Jesus is good. Mm-hmm. And I would rather serve a Jesus who is good and died for the goodness of the world than believe in karma that is all built on self-achievement and striving to be good. Mm-hmm. So I like that the Jesus philosophy teaches that badness exists because there is bad and he is good, and that good someday will triumph. And I don't understand all of that. And that's kind of like what I had to reconcile in those couple of years, was the fact that there will be things in my lifetime about God and about suffering that I do not understand.
Yeah.
But God is trustworthy, and I can serve him and know that he is the source of all goodness.
Yeah. How long did that period last?
It lasted about 2 years, and it still wavers from time to time. Like, honestly, like, I still have moments where I'm like, wow, do I really believe this? Oh my goodness, do I believe this? You know, like, when I'm traveling in like a context where there's no Christ followers, do I really believe that they all need Jesus and that they're all wrong? That's a really hard one for me.
Yeah.
C.S. Lewis has a quote that has been like a solace to my life.
Okay.
And he says, you know, when all is said and done and we stand before Jesus, there will be surprises when all is known. And so I enjoy that. I do believe there are people everywhere who are discovering Jesus, and they maybe don't even know his name yet.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're seeking him in sincerity. And so I think that this journey, it's really like, it's opened my mind to new possibilities. I can't see everything with pure black and white. Like, I think that there's some, you know, there's some other shades in there. Without using the cliche shades of gray.
You can't say that.
I know, right? Like I can't. But anyways, it's been a journey and a wonderful one, and it still is.
We like to say, like, we have no doubts, and it's definitely, we totally 100%, you know, believe in Jesus. But if we are honest about our actions, if our belief causes our behavior, and if we won't share the gospel, or if we're, you know, embarrassed of what we believe, then we actually aren't really believing 100%. So I feel like it's uncomfortable to say that we're uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact of the matter is we're uncomfortable. I mean, it's some pretty crazy stuff. The Bible is not tame or logical.
Right.
And to believe it is to say you believe some pretty crazy stuff.
But it's okay.
He'll fill in the blanks, and he's good. And he knows that, he knows it's crazy. He has to know it's crazy. It's not logical. The things he's asking us to believe, and a lot of times the things he's asking us to do in obedience.
Yeah. I think that, like, you're so spot on. Like, you know, faith in God is one part reasoning, and it's one part experiential. If we rely purely on reason, then we miss out on the experiential goodness that God has for us. And I think that's why I've been so excited about the Real Life Journal and what it's doing in people's lives, is because it's like allowing them to open up their mind and life to God's goodness pouring into everything.
Yes. And I want to talk about that, but I want to take you back just a little bit. You mentioned to me that your passion is to glorify God in who you are more than what you do. And you kind of touched on that, going from you had this marketing background and you had this consulting business, and then now you're a mom, and like the brakes have been screeched. Like, what is my life right here? And you said that being a mom was like a form of death. You know, it was a death to a lot of things. And I totally get that. That's why I started the show, because it was so much harder to be a mom than I thought. And then whoops, you're in it now. Like, what the heck are you supposed to do? You said that it kind of, the process kind of just shook the leaves off your tree a little bit. Like, I'm thinking of the fall, and there's just some death and some loss.
Yes.
And I love that. To be honest, I love your authenticity. And that's something I'm thinking the vast majority of us feel, but we don't want to say it out loud.
Yeah. I would call it, Emily, like a holy purging.
Okay.
Being a mother has forced me to purge my life. And it's holy and it's blessed and it's good, but it's hard. I mean, when I became a mom, I had a full service consulting firm with a creative agency side to it, you know, had 8 employees. Mm. I was burning my candle from both ends.
Yeah. And probably loving it, right?
Oh gosh. Yeah. I loved every minute.
Yeah.
But then we brought 2 sons home from Ethiopia.
Okay.
And my daughter came into the picture a couple years later, and it did force me to really look at my character versus my performance.
Hmm.
So what I mean by that is that I would constantly feel and experience in my motherhood this conflict. And like in my mind, I was always somewhere else. So mm-hmm. if I was at work, I was with my kids, like in my mind. But if I was with my kids, I was at work in my mind. It was this like painful struggle that like forced me to have to face what actually matters in life.
You know, and honestly, you say like performance versus character. I would so much rather rely on my performance because I can shine stuff up pretty good. But if I have to look at like what kind of a person I am in the secret hidden times when it's like just me and my family, I don't want to talk about that. You know, that's so much harder.
Or please do not take a picture of what's going on in my head right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
That's scary.
What did you do? Like you're feeling that angst inside. Then what happened?
So you referenced, you know, like the tree, the shaking of the leaves. I mean, I essentially stopped consulting,
okay,
which was really hard for me. I was ultra passionate about the ministries that I served with my consulting firm, but I just reached this spot where it was like, I have to choose. I can't do everything and do it well. And I know that there are some women that they really like, I look at them on Instagram and I'm like, wow, they're doing it. Good job.
Well, first of all, that's not real.
I don't know. Maybe it is, Emily. Like maybe their capacities are just bigger and there's grace. Like maybe the Lord is giving them grace, but
maybe.
I felt the
I'm
Lord.
I'm suspicious.
Yeah, that's true. I'm too, but I don't want to judge that.
No, I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
No. I know you're not. Like, I'm just saying, like, maybe it's possible that they have extremely high capacities, but I had to choose.
Okay. What did that process look like? How did you know what to choose? I mean, obviously, you have to choose your kids. I mean, in some...
Yeah. But what does that even mean, right?
Exactly.
Like, in today's society, like, what does choosing your children mean? Does that mean, like, I start homeschooling and I like don't do anything but be with them? And not that that's wrong. That's great.
Right. There's just lots of choices. Yeah.
There's a lot of choices. So for me, it took, and this is actually like a lot of what I'm going to be talking about in Higher Purpose You.
Is this that book?
Yeah. Okay. My book. Okay. My new book. That's not out yet. A lot of the process that I had to go through was asking myself, who has God created me to be?
Mm-hmm.
And what does he want from me in this season? What are those jewels within me that he wants to shine up and put forth into the world? And where are the character things? And I think that like what you produce always has to start in a firmness of knowing who you are.
Yeah.
And so who I am had changed.
When you became a mom.
Yes.
Okay.
Right? I was not a mom, and then I am a mom, and it's a beautiful and wonderful part of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to make space for that. So it doesn't mean that I'm like not any of the things that I was before, because that's fully, I still, you know, I'm still me,
mm-hmm.
but I have to figure that out. I have to figure out how that all blends and works together. And so, I mean, essentially for me, it meant allowing some things in my life to die, quite literally. Like I like called up clients and said, like, I'm not taking as much work anymore.
Okay.
So some things in my life died in order to make space. I used to be a fitness instructor at the gym.
Oh, okay.
I did that for a dozen years. It was a big part of my identity, that like coaching side of me, of like being alongside of people. It was like my inner Jillian Michaels, that, you know, like it was a persona. It was a persona that I wanted to carry with me through motherhood, but I had to let it go. The schedule of it was conflicting with my family. So okay. I think like just embracing that for what it is and loving it in the season and knowing like seasons do change and God's faithful.
Yeah. You told me that one of the ways you tell which thing stays is that it's something that you have complete clearance from the Lord and that it's a compliment to your family and that it will in the future be a blessing to your children.
Right.
So I feel like that's a really great framework.
Yeah.
So what left was the fitness coaching, but what stayed? What did you know you needed to keep?
Since putting kids into my life, it's been like shuffling a deck of cards, all of my priorities. And so some cards have been put to the side and like reprioritized, and some new cards have been shuffled into my like crazy schedule. Mm-hmm. Some things died. So what died was Charity Reeb, international consultant to the world, okay, and running a massive business. It just couldn't coexist and me be as actively present with my children. Mm-hmm. So I let that go, which was super hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I definitely had moments where I was like, who am I? What am I doing? But in the death of that, kind of like my love for writing and creating, it just couldn't die. And that was a big part of like my consulting business, was creating different things for my clients, like creative mm-hmm. projects that they would come to me with. And so that's when I launched my blog and the Real Life Journal, and you know, now my second book. Mm-hmm. It's just different and more flexible. Okay. That's why I say that I think that like when God shakes leaves off of our trees, when it's time for the season to change and it's time for the fruitfulness of our past to die, he's always faithful to bring new and different leaves and fruit. And part of those leaves and fruit are my children being healthy and whole.
And how do you see this, what you're doing now with the journal, how do you see this being a benefit to them in the future?
I see my kids learning to practice the things that I'm teaching.
Okay.
Like my hope is that they would grow up in a home where, you know, the things that I'm teaching with the Real Life Journal would be a part of their essence. So things like two-way conversation with God, that would just be so incredibly normal for them because they hear us mm-hmm. talking about it all the time. Mm-hmm. This is really funny. The other day, I was shipping out journals to some people and one of my sons like started to panic and he said, Mommy, why are you shipping those out? Like, we have to have them. What will we do? We won't have our journals.
Oh, so they're a big deal to him.
It was so sweet. I said, honey, like, our purpose is that, like, we would share them with everybody and that, like, everyone would be able to invite Jesus into their real life. And it was so sweet, like, how he just got it. Like, it just clicked.
So good.
With him. So I think like, what I'm doing with the journal right now, like, they're able to be a part of it and they love that. Okay. They love talking about it. They did like a little commercial promo. It's really funny.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's on my Facebook. They did a commercial promo. It's homegrown. It's like from my iPhone where they like talked about the importance of having a journal and how it's like the perfect Christmas gift. Oh. One of my sons, I said, do you want a journal or toys for Christmas? And he said, I want both a journal and toys.
It's so funny. I love it. Okay, so I have to talk about it because I'm looking at mine right now and I love it. Even the topic, so you have good and then it's crossed out and bad and then it's crossed out and then it says real life. And I think that like we were talking about before, we feel like, first of all, asking questions is bad. Not being perfect is bad. So we have to be good and look good and act good and then come to God. And that's just not real. It's not it's not what God asks us to do. But I think it's what, if we're honest, if we don't check ourselves, it's kind of what we feel like. But then the underneath that, it says a simple journal to focus on what matters and live it every day. And it is, it's so simple, but it's not boring. Like there's a lot to it. You talk about spiritual mm-hmm. disciplines, but it's done in such a way that it almost feels like This is going to sound rude, and I don't mean it rude. I just don't know a better way to say it.
It
looks like something a kid could do. You know what I mean? Because it's
totally.
Well, I mean, I guess it's what your kids want for Christmas, right? But so it's simple, but it's not boring. I don't know. I love it. I really think it's really good.
Thank you. I have struggled with spiritual disciplines, Emily, my whole life, where like I've loved Jesus so much, but sometimes I just struggled with that whole aspect of practicing the presence of Jesus. Yeah. In the real.
Yeah.
And I wanted to create something both for myself and others where we can just do that and there not be guilt or shame. You know, like if you miss a day of this, like it's cool. Just like pick it up when you can. Like it's the real life journal. Like just be with Jesus in real life, invite him into your real life. So that's what the weekly inventory is all about. So for the people who are listening who don't know what this is, there's a weekly inventory and that helps you to prioritize your life and invite Jesus into your goals and priorities. And the reason I did that was because I had seasons of my life because I'm a bit of a workaholic.
Okay.
I have workaholic tendencies, I guess I should say. I'm not a workaholic anymore, but I definitely have those tendencies. And so I found all of my life goals focusing on work and then allowing other aspects of life just to like fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to create something that helped me think about my goals from a holistic perspective and invite the Holy Spirit to work with me. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit within us is our ever-present help.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you for somebody who's like, that sounds weird. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
How do I invite the Holy Spirit in to be? No, I know. We've already talked about it. This is all really weird stuff.
It is. Yeah. Being a believer in Jesus is weird, it's super but it's weird. Wonderful.
It is.
It's the most wonderful thing.
So how would you invite the Holy Spirit to be a part of your planning of your goals? What's that okay. look like?
Well, I might backtrack on like the purpose of the Holy Spirit, if that's okay.
Permission granted.
Okay. So the disciples were with Jesus. They could see him physically face to face, right?
Yeah.
And even the disciples struggled. Totally. They had a hard time doing everything that Jesus instructed them and showed them with his lifestyle to do.
Yes.
And so I think of the Holy Spirit, like my funny little way of thinking of the Spirit in my life is like Jesus said, you know what, guys, I get that you just like you can't do it. You stink at this and it's okay. It's good. Like you're not God. I'm God.
Yeah.
You're not God. So since disciples, you can't see me anymore, I am going to come to you and I'm going to live inside of you.
Uh-huh.
And the embodiment of me is called the Holy Spirit because God is that trifold God. So there's God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are one.
Uh-huh.
This is the supernatural. Like we talked earlier about there's the reasoning aspect of God, which is very important. We need to read the word of God and reason that. But then there's also the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And so part of the supernatural phenomena of life with Christ is the Spirit coming into us. So when we accept Jesus into our heart and we say, yeah, I'm going to follow you, the Spirit comes in us
mm-hmm.
because he knows we screw up all the time.
We're a mess, yes.
Yeah. So he's like, you know what? I'm just going to make this easy for you. I'm going to give you my Spirit.
Yeah.
So you asked about how do I invite the Spirit into my goals? Very practically, the answer to that is I just ask the Spirit inside of me. Spirit, will you come into this? And he does.
Okay.
And it's supernatural. But to give a practical example, I really strustruggle with overeating.
Okay.
You're getting like a real picture of my personality today.
So good.
I'm just passionate and like, I just like don't do anything halfway, including food consumption. I love to eat.
Okay.
I was the girl growing up when you took me to the buffet, like people would be like, would you at the table, like, is that your third or fourth plate?
Okay.
I just didn't know how to stop. I really struggle with overeating.
Okay.
So I find myself almost every single week, Emily, saying, Spirit, I need your help. I need to invite you into my overeating problem.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm tempted to go for the second plate, I find myself saying, Holy Spirit, would you help me not go for a second second plate of food. I'm not even hungry. I just, like, for whatever reason, like, I just want to eat more food. I need your help. And he helps me.
I think most women struggle with food in some capacity, right? And so,
yeah.
Yeah. And so you just practically say, help me. I think part of it is sometimes, I mean, he wants to help us. He's always there, right? And he always is right for us. And we can say, like, help me, and then go, but I really don't want to be helped.
But I really want a second plate of food.
Yeah.
Right. But if you actually call on him for help, he can help even change your desires. I'm, like, in the process of rereading Brother Lawrence's Practicing the Presence of God. And it's so simple, but it's almost like he repeats over and over and over again, you're missing out on the goodness of God because he really wants to help you in real life.
That's so good.
You're missing out. Just call on him. That's his delight. Jesus came to be a part of our real lives, and he wants to be there with us.
Yeah. And we're just too busy, or we don't think it's real, or he's not going to show up, or.
Yeah. Which is just all lies. That's absolutely, like, all of that's so not true.
Yeah. So what would you say to a mom who feels like she doesn't maybe know what is her passion, or what amount of that is okay to pursue? You know, when you have tendencies towards being a workaholic, how do you know that this, you know, journal or this book isn't going to become, you know, your new consulting firm problem? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it totally could become that. And I just have to, like, take it step by step. I think, like, so much of life, you have to listen to the spirit in the moment. As much as we want to plan ahead and try to, like, steer ourselves away from, like, creating problems for ourselves, if we lived our lives that way, we would never do anything.
Yeah.
So if God's given you a passion to pursue something, do it. If it's not healthy or good, like, the spirit's within you, he's going to tell you, hey, this isn't good. Like, you're stepping over an unhealthy line. Maybe it's time to delegate. Maybe it's time to reprioritize entirely. Maybe it's time to let it go.
Yeah.
I think that there's no simple answers. I think that, you know, that's what so many self-help books claim to give us, is these answers to life. And that, like, if you do this, that, or the other, it's this potion that's going to, like, make your life better. And it's just not true. I think, you know, if you're a mom and you have a passion to do something for the Lord, seek God first, then do it. Just do it. Go. Take a step.
Yeah. And listen as you go and be willing to stop if you need to. That's
right.
The part I don't do very well. I am fine with the go. I am not fine with the stop. So, yes. You said that I'm looking it up, so I don't want to mess it up, but Ephesians 2:10, that you love that one, especially for someone who likes to accomplish things.
Yes.
Finding it, but.
Oh, it's so good. It just, essentially, it says that God prepares our work for us in advance if we earnestly seek him, or if we, like, seek him with our whole heart. So
yes,
it, like, takes the wondering, you know, like, I hear so oftentimes in the church, and I hear even mothers say, like, but what about my calling?
Mm-hmm.
What's my calling? And God's really been reshaping my perspective of calling more like the shepherd who always is calling out to his sheep, follow me, like, mm-hmm. keep following me. And that's the call. That's the call of God. The call of God on all of our lives is to follow Jesus. And sometimes in that following, he's going to take us on different adventures with him.
Mm.
It's not always going to look the same. And so I love that I don't have to worry about my calling. All I have to worry, not even worry, all I have to do is just follow Jesus
mm-hmm.
with no worry.
Yeah.
Just follow Jesus, and your work is prepared in advance for you. Isn't that cool?
So much rest in that. Yep.
Yeah.
And we don't have to feel like, what if I miss it? What if I'm in the wrong spot?
No. Yeah. Impossible.
Yeah.
You're always in the right spot
if you're
following Jesus.
So good. So good. Okay. So I have one more question for you. By the way, this has been all so encouraging for me. Like, I'm all fired up. I can't wait. You need to finish this book. so I can read it. Okay, what is something that you just, you cannot stop talking about right now?
Okay, well, I'm in Redding, California right now.
Okay.
It's like hipster territory. Like everybody's like a mountain person. They all wear flannel. It's very cool. I'm trying to adapt to my environment, but...
Have you become hipster?
So... Yeah, I'm not though. I admittedly, I'm not.
Funny.
But I realized at Trader Joe's that the pretty squash that you see on the table at like fall time, you can eat it.
Oh.
Did you know that? That you can eat that squash?
No, I never had tried to eat it.
Talking about because a friend of mine up here in Reading cooked it for me and it was delicious. So squash, that's all I've been talking about. So good.
I can say that that is a first. I've never heard that as the thing you can't stop talking about.
It's great. Well, it's so good.
Is it like the white ones and the green ones? Like the
all of
the
them.
Funny, the
you
funky
can
ones?
Eat them. The funky looking squash. They're tasty.
And they're good? Okay.
I just thought they were decor.
I thought, yeah, I didn't know.
But mountain people, they like make, they're resourceful.
Well,
like
if the mountain people eat it,
yeah,
we should be eating it.
Yeah.
If it's the hipster thing to do, I mean, we need to... Get on board.
Get on board with squash. Yeah.
Hashtag get on board with squash. I love it. Well, Charity, seriously,
I love you,
thrilled.
Emily.
I know. It's so fun to talk to you.
Thank you.
I know. Enjoy the rest of your week up there writing a book. I'm so jealous.
I know. I wish every friend of mine that was a writer had this opportunity that I could grant it to you.
Or a mother. I don't want to write. Yeah. I just want to go over there and be by myself. Oh, man. Will you enjoy the rest of your time? Good
yes,
rest of your week.
You too, Emily. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. So did you love that? I loved that. I think to some of you, that concept is new, the idea of inviting the Holy Spirit into your broken places. God restores us and he heals us. And so often we try to patch things up before we go to him. When we're in the middle of trying to clean up our own mess, we don't see how silly and futile that actually is. But imagine for a second, your kid trying to undo a disaster they created. I remember when we got brand new wood floors and my then toddler son opened up yellow paint and just squirted yellow paint all over everything. And then of course walked through it. And so then all over my brand new floors were yellow footprints. And he just was trying to clean it up, but he didn't know how to clean that mess up. Kids are a mess, and we are also a mess. But God knows how to fix our broken places, and he wants us to invite him in. Psalm 23 says he's the restorer of our souls. Joel 2 says God will restore the years that we've lost due to some kind of destruction or another. Sometimes it's our fault, sometimes it's someone else's. 1 Peter 5 promises that God will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish us. I don't know about you, but I am down for some of that. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week? Maybe if you have a husband who travels, you just need to try what Charity did and just tell him, when you get home, I am leaving for a week. I really want to try that. I am confident it will not work, but I want to try it. Maybe you need permission to wrestle with your faith. I love how Charity said that season solidifies your faith. If you come from a faith tradition where you're not allowed to ask questions, that's concerning. God welcomes your questions. The book of Job, just questions. David, Psalms, so many questions. I think a lot of times we think, well, it just doesn't, God just doesn't make sense. I can't understand him. But really, if we could understand God, how impressive would he be? Our minds are so tiny, no offense, but we cannot understand everything. I personally take great comfort in knowing that somebody has a plan because I sure don't. One of my mentors always would say the belief causes behavior, and it's so true. So maybe your strategy to struggle well this week is to have a look at your behavior and be really honest about what it says about what you believe. And be careful, it's going to be pretty ugly. It's going to be kind of painful. Charity talked about some of the things in her life that needed to die in order to make space for her role as a mom. Are you doing something that you know deep in your gut, in your secret place that you are not even wanting to admit to anybody, you've got something going on that is needing to die so that you can be a better mom? Maybe you need to cook up some squash like a real hipster. Maybe you need to get the Real Life Journal of Charities and start making the spiritual disciplines more simple. They do not have to be so hard. Maybe you get Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence and you read some of that goodness. So whatever you do this week, if you are shopping on Amazon, first head to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon. It won't cost you a penny more, but Amazon will give the Mom Struggling Well podcast a tiny portion of your purchase.
And as always, follow me on Instagram at momstrugglingwell and join us on Wednesday nights when we talk about our weeks. Valentine's Day is coming up in a couple of days, and Rebecca Smith and I are going to do another Problem Solved where we talk about love, marriage, and all of those shenanigans. So stay tuned for that. You guys are the best. Keep doing what you're doing. It's making an eternal difference. Have a great week of struggling well.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.